Techtopia. Techtopia er en podcast om mennesker og deres teknologi. Den er udgivet af Ingeniørforeningen IDA i samarbejde med mediehuset Ingeniøren, Automatikmessen Automatik, AM Hub og IDA Forsikring. Jeg hedder Henrik Føns, og det er mig, der bestemmer i Techtopia. Techtopia. I denne her uge er jeg taget til Techfestival i Kødbyen i København, og jeg befinder mig lige nu i et lokale her i Kødbyen, hvor der står fem elektriske løbehjul. Det er det, man kalder for scooters i USA. Og hvorfor skal jeg snakke om elektriske løbehjul? Du tænker måske, det er legetøj til børn. Men det er det faktisk ikke. Det er en del af den bevægelse, der er inden for mikromobilitet, som der også var en hel dags foredragsrække om her på festivalen. Og det handler simpelthen om at sige, hvordan kan vi gentænke transport i storbyerne, så den bliver hurtigere og mere effektiv og mindre miljøbelastende. Og der kommer de her scooters simpelthen ind i billedet, fordi lige nu der disrupter de storbytrafikken mange steder i USA. På kun et år der er de her sådan, scooters væltet ind over markedet og har disrupted firmaer som Uber og Lyft, fordi folk simpelthen leger sådan en scooter på gaden for ganske få penge og kører måske 3 km på den og stiller den igen. Så jeg har talt med en af eksperterne inden for området, der kommer fra byen Portland i Oregon, hvor han hjælper folk med at komme ind på det her marked og simpelthen forstå, hvordan det fungerer. Og så, nu står jeg jo som sagt i et lokale i Kødbyen i København, og foran mig der står altså 5 af de her løbehjul, som er produceret af den kinesiske producent Ninebot Segway. Og eftersom de står her i Danmark og faktisk også har et firmalogo på, så er der noget, der kunne tyde på, at den her trend den også kommer til Danmark ganske snart. Så jeg har faktisk fat i firmaet Voy, som også skal fortælle, hvad deres planer er for elektriske løbehjul i Danmark. Men først skal vi lige høre, hvordan det her marked det har udviklet sig i USA på bare et lille års tid.
Yeah, I'm Michael Nakashimada. I work for a startup in Portland, Oregon called Ride Report. And what we do is we build software and dashboards for cities and municipalities to be able to manage all the different new mobility providers that are coming in to cities, whether that's a scooter share or a bike share or whatever new form factor comes out next. We really strive to empower cities to collect data on operations, audit that data, generate reports for that data, in order to make more informed choices for their city and for public infrastructure investment over the course of the next 10 to 15 years. So Ride Report, we partner with different mobility providers and cities, and we've really seen an influx over the last year with scooter share companies in the United States entering all these different cities and kind of causing havoc. And so we've really seen an adoption in our services and our software over the last 6 months especially.
Mike Naga, han hjælper byer med at implementere systemerne til elløbehjul, altså dem der er kendt som scooters i USA. Og måske så tænker du, kan man virkelig leve af det? Og ja, det kan man faktisk, fordi markedet for scooters det eksploderer. Og det eksploderer virkelig i USA i disse måneder.
So scooters are stand-up electric vehicles that weigh, anywhere from 25 to 35 kilograms with a max speed of 20 to 30 kilometers an hour. They're very conformable devices that you can pick up, take on transit, walk around with, provide a nice ride for the, anywhere from the 3 to 5 kilometer range. And so scooters have seen quite a massive adoption in the United States over the course of the last really 12 months. And it's been quite remarkable to see the uptake in scooter usage.
Well, why have you seen this rapid uptake in the United States?
Yeah, so there's a few factors at play. In the US, we have we don't have great public transit infrastructure in terms of subways and buses, and then we don't have a lot of great bike infrastructure. But what we do have is roadways, and these roadways are clogged with, you know, automobiles from SUVs to trucks. And so I think people have really been desperate, or, you know, they've wanted a way to get out of their automobile, but they really haven't had a great way to do it. And so scooters have come, launched as a shared dockless mobility service where you have an application, you walk up to a scooter on the street and you can unlock it with an app and get on and ride it to your destination. And it offers the flexibility and optionality with leaving these scooter devices anywhere, whether it's a restaurant or a cafe. It provides this really great service that you wouldn't have been able to have without the advent of lithium ion batteries and then the smartphones and cellular networks, which provide the infrastructure for these shared scooter services that have just seen tremendous adoption over the last 12 months.
So you have an app where you can actually find the scooter, which is freely available, and then you can rent it.
You have an application where you scan a QR code similar to what we've seen with dockless bike share in China and now in Europe and other places, where you just open up the camera and you scan a QR code, get on the scooter, and you go to your destination, drop it off, and you scan it to exit and the ride. So it's a very simple process.
And how high is the price?
Yeah, so the prices start at $1 to unlock the vehicle, and then about 15 cents per minute. So about the average price for a scooter ride is around $2.50, and that's a mile and a half, so if three to four kilometers. It's very cheap compared to something like a taxi or a ride-hailing service.
Hvis man kort skal forklare, hvad et el-løbehjul eller en scooter er, ja, så er det faktisk et løbehjul med et batteri, der kan køre 25 km i timen, og typisk så kører man sådan nogle ture på omkring 3 km, når man lejer sådan et el-løbehjul. Man kan komme udenom trafikpropper, og man lejer det ligesom en cykel via en app, så på mange måder så afløser det tjenester som Uber og Lyft, og måske også cykeludlejningstjenester, fordi man måske hellere vil køre på løbehjul end på cykel, især hvis man er amerikaner, der ikke er så vant til at cykle. Det man gør, det er, at man finder et løbehjul på gaden, man scanner en QR-kode, og så tager man løbehjulet og kører til sin destination. Det koster $1 i startgebyr, så typisk 15 cent i minuttet, så det vil sige, at det koster ca. 7 kroner at tage løbehjulet, og så koster det omkring 1 krone i minuttet at køre på det. Og Michael han fortæller, at typisk så koster en gennemsnitlig tur omkring $2.50, altså ca. 16 kroner. Men hvem er det egentlig, der udbyder de her scooters til leje?
Really, the company that ushered in this new scooter share service model was a brand new company. It was founded by an ex-executive at Lyft and Uber, Travis Van Der Zanden. And this company, Bird, launched in Santa Monica about exactly 12 months ago, and it really kicked off this whole scooter share revolution in the U.S. And then you had fast followers like Lime Bike, who was doing dockless bike share, and they pivoted or switched over or started offering scooter share services, but more and more have been focused on scooters exclusively. And then you have a few other players like Spin and Skip, who are scooter focused now. And then you have the incumbent mobility companies like the Ubers and Lyfts of the world, who are in the last four or five months have actually invested in scooter sharing services and plan on launching in the U.S. in the next couple of months their own service to complement their ride-hailing business.
I'm actually wondering who got the idea and why in Santa Monica?
Yeah, so my understanding is Bird's founder, Travis Van Der Zanden, he was an executive at Lyft and Uber, and obviously they are doing ride-sharing, ride-hailing business, millions and millions of trips in cars. And he left those companies and was thinking about, hey, how can we actually get people out of these vehicles, these automobiles? And so my understanding is that he wanted to test a new service, new mobility service that didn't take automobiles, and he wanted to test it, or, you know, prove the concept out in a city that wasn't San Francisco, that wasn't Silicon Valley. So he went down to LA, Santa Monica area, and that's where he got the idea to buy these scooters from China and put a couple hundred out on the streets. And then now, you know, nearly $400 million later, it's a big business. So yeah, it's a fascinating journey over the course of the last few months.
And how big is this market, and how fast is it growing?
Yeah, so, you know, it's a great question. We really don't know how big this market is. What I like to say is that you're competing with walking right now for scooter share services. So, you know, most people walk around the city. And so that's why we're seeing this high adoption rate with users creating accounts on all these different services. An example I like to give is Lime Bike in San Diego. Launched scooters in February of 2018 this year. And in 5 months, around June, July, they had 310,000 subscribers, accounts created in San Diego alone, which is, you know, one-fifth of the population of San Diego. And that's just incredible adoption. Just because scooters, they offer a utility service, but they also... They're also like a recreational device at first. The people are like, oh, I want to have fun, create an account, it's cheap, I'm gonna use a scooter. And then they quickly find out that, hey, there's some utility here with the scooter, and I can, you know, ride it to a transit stop or to work or meet up with a friend at a restaurant. And so the market for scooters is, you know, I can't quantify it completely, but we've seen, you know, over 70,000 scooters deployed across the U.S. Operators are asking cities to increase caps to launch more scooters, and we really haven't seen a ceiling yet. And so that's what's going to be exciting to watch over the next, you know, 12, 18 months as the market develops and keeps on accelerating.
Så med så meget anden ny teknologi, så er det faktisk et helt nyt firma, der startede den her bølge, nemlig et firma, der hedder Bird, som blev stiftet af en tidligere ansat hos Uber. Det skete i byen Santa Monica i Los Angeles-området i Californien, og da cykeludlejningsfirmaen de spottede den her, så begyndte de også at udleje løbehjul som supplement til deres cykler, og de blev meget hurtigt fulgt af både Uber og Lyft, der pludselig så sig selv blive disrupted af billige elektriske løbehjul fra Kina. Og det synes man jo ikke er sjovt, hvis man selv er disruptor. Vi kender ikke helt størrelsen på markedet nu, siger Michael Narker, men det nærmeste konkurrenceparameter, det er simpelthen en spaceretur, en gåtur. Det er simpelthen det, der bliver erstattet med de her løbehjul. Han giver et eksempel på en byen San Diego, hvor der på 5 måneder er kommet over 200.000 abonnenter på en scooter-service, og det svarer til en femtedel af hele byens befolkning. Så det her, det vokser eksplosivt, og det tiltrækker også virkelig store summer i risikovillig kapital.
Bird and Lime, two of the big scooter share companies, have already raised over $880 million in venture capital in you know, about 12 months, which is, you know, that's a good chunk of change. And then you also have some smaller players raising tens of millions of dollars. And then you have, again, like you have the ride-hailing players who've already raised billions of dollars, who are saying, hey, we're going to also invest in scooters and bike share, scooter share services specifically with our money. And so we're at this inflection point right now where there's a lot of capital on the table. There's going to be a lot of investment. There's going to be a lot of subsidies for attracting users. There's no shortage of capital, and it's going to make things really interesting to see how these scooter share services evolve in terms of product and adoption over the next, you know, again, 24 months.
And when we talk about raising capital, I mean, what do you actually spend the capital on? Is it on the infrastructure, or is it on buying scooters?
Yeah, so one of the biggest challenges right now is actually buying the scooters, like you said. There's a supply chain crunch right now. There's, you know, only so many scooter manufacturers, and one of the big ones is Ninebot Segway in China, who've really built the model that kicked off the scooter sharing revolution over the last 12 months. And all these companies are going to Ninebot asking for scooters, and, you know, they can only make so many scooters in a week, in a month. And so we're already seeing, I've heard that, you know, they're spending lots of money on trying to buy these scooters, buy units at volume, and ship them over the U.S. So that's one area where this capital is going, is scooters themselves. And then replacing scooters that are either broken or lost or just run their course in terms of utilization. And then the other big area is operation costs. A lot of these companies are investing heavily on building out these networks of chargers. These are independent contractors who actually grab the scooters off the street and they recharge them over 4 or 6 hours at a time. And you'll see in U.S. cities, minivans or cars that have, you know, 15, 20, 30 scooters in the back, where it's, you know, someone who does this as a side job, they take them to their garage or their house and they charge 15 scooters at a time. So you're seeing a lot of capital being spent on acquiring these chargers who are making money, rebalancing the fleet, keeping the fleet maintained. And then obviously Bird and Lime and the scooter operators have to staff up their operations people to recruit these chargers, to manage giving out infrastructure like battery chargers and things like that. There is a lot of capital needed for that, but it's still, I would say it's not as much as what we saw with Uber and Lyft with ride hailing, where they're spending quite a bit more money to actually acquire the customer and acquire a driver to these platforms. So, yeah.
But to understand it correctly, mm-hmm. people actually live from charging scooters?
Most people do this on the side. Like, they work their 40-hour a week full-time job and they make extra money, 1 hour a day, hour and a half a day, going out and collecting scooters in their neighborhood, taking them home, charging them overnight when, you know, they're already sleeping. They don't need to be up. It's a very low touch job where, you know, you just grab the scooters and then in the morning at 7 a.m. you take them out to the deployment areas for these scooter share services.
And the scooter service company, they pay them to do it?
Yeah. So the scooter company, actively recruits chargers via usually their consumer app where people are already renting the scooters. And they say, hey, do you want to make some few extra dollars a night? And, you know, being a scooter charger, again, it's not terribly difficult. You're not a ride hailing driver where you're having to deal with people for hours at a time. You go out, talk to a non-animate object, or you grab a non-animate object, a scooter off the street, and you put it on in your car, and then you take it home and charge it. And so, yeah, it's fairly simple process to do it. And so it's easier. I would argue that it's a little bit easier to retain these scooter chargers versus, you know, ride-hailing drivers and other contractor gig economy type jobs we're seeing emerge out of these software giants.
De to dominerende firmaer, de hedder Bird og Lime, og de har på 12 måneder tiltrukket 880 millioner dollars i risikovillig kapital. Rigtig mange af de her penge, de bliver brugt til at købe scooters, og hovedproducenten, det er det firma, der hedder Ninebot Segway. Og nogen kan måske huske den her Segway fra USA. Den blev faktisk købt af det kinesiske firma Ninebot, som altså også producerer de her scooters. Ninebot er så stor en producent af de elektriske løbehjul, at de faktisk leverer hovedparten af dem, der er på markedet. Og det gør, at der er lidt en prop i systemet, fordi de kan simpelthen ikke følge med den store efterspørgsel, der pludselig er i USA. Fordi det her marked har udviklet sig så eksklusivt, så sker der jo det, at der ikke er ladestationer til de her løbehjul. Når man kører med bycykel her i København, så tager man jo i en ladestation, hvor cyklen den er stået og blevet ladet op siden den sidste tur. Men fordi de her løbehjul simpelthen bare bliver spredt på gaden af virksomhederne, så er der ikke bygget en infrastruktur til dem. Og det har gjort, at der er opstået en helt ny jobkategori, nemlig det man kalder for scooteropladere. Og det er simpelthen mennesker, som samler de her scooters ind på en trailer og tager dem med hjem og lader dem op hen over natten, og så distribuerer de dem på gaden igen klokken 7 næste morgen. Og så har de så en kontrakt med udlejningsfirmaet, for eksempel Bird eller Lime, om at de får penge for at lade scooterne op om natten, så de er klar til kunderne, der vil leje dem i løbet af dagen.
These scooters are, you know, they're buying off the shelf scooters that are really meant for consumers. they're not meant for high utilization of 5, 6, 7 trips a day. And so the scooters are getting damaged at accelerated rate because of high utilization. And then, like you said, there's a problem with theft and accidents because people were trying to do tricks on a scooter off of a sidewalk and you know, they break the scooter. But, you know, we're definitely seeing theft and you know, bad behavior around these scooters. I can't quantify the exact number. A few of the operators say it's around below 5%, 3 to 5% attrition rate in terms of scooters lost over a course of, you know, a month. But it's something really, you know, not talked about a lot right now. And I think it will come out more in the future as cities start asking how long these vehicles are lasting, how many are stolen, because it costs a lot of money to buy these vehicles. And then you want to lower the attrition rate and the damage rate considerably to build a profitable business in the future. So,
are they legal to ride in the States?
Yeah, so the U.S. is interesting because we have, it's a gray area in different states in the U.S. A lot of the times they're regulated at the individual state level. So where I'm from, Portland, Oregon, scooters, electric scooters, stand-up scooters are regulated at the state level. They're allowed to be in bike lanes. You have to wear a helmet. It had to be below 25 kilometers an hour max speed. And so, yeah, they are legal. It's just, it depends state to state what really the rules are. But again, that's something that is going to be coming up more in discussion over the course in the next 12, 24 months as adoption continues to decrease. Assuming adoption continues to increase, you'll see a lot more politicians at the city and state level talking about scooter laws, regulations, trying to more clearly define what a scooter is and what you can do with it in the States.
Do you ride one yourself?
Yeah, I actually, when I first saw the scooters being deployed, I went down to Los Angeles, Santa Monica area in December of last year. I was very skeptical of scooters, but once I, you know, stepped out on the streets and I was seeing this diversity of riders, all different types of people, men, women, younger, older, riding these vehicles, scooter vehicles, I it instantly intrigued me because I felt there's something here with them. And so I actually bought one back home, my own personal one, and started riding it every once in a while, a couple times a week. But usually I'm a bicyclist for utility, commuting, and that sort of thing. But I do ride scooters. It's definitely nice. One interesting part is actually in the rain, I get less wet on a scooter because you're standing up and you don't have a pedaling motion like on a bicycle, so you're not splashing water all over you. And in like a city where I live, Portland, that's very helpful. On the other hand, I really do like the exercise and benefits of riding my bike. Scooters actually just deployed as a service in Portland about 6 weeks ago, and I definitely found myself riding them quite a bit and replacing Uber or Car2Go or a Lyft trip with actually a scooter share service to my destination.
Et af problemerne med de her scooters, det er jo, at de faktisk er skabt til privat brug, så de er ikke beregnet til den enorme byrde, det er at være en del af et udlejningsfirma og køre mange, mange kilometer hver dag. Og nogle mennesker synes også, det er smart at køre ned ad kantstenen og måske lave lidt kunstner eller sjove ting på dem, og så går de i stykker. Og nogle af dem bliver selvfølgelig også stjålet. Så det koster en del penge at have dem på gaden. Og i nogle stater, så er der regler for, at man skal køre med hjelm og med en særlig lav hastighed. Men i det hele taget, så er det her virkelig The Wild West, et totalt ureguleret marked, som bare er opstået i løbet af ganske få måneder på gader og stræder i USA's store byer.
Again, this is only, we're 12 months since the beginning of scooter share deployment in the US, and we're starting to see obviously more competition, more vehicles in North America. We're starting to see deployments in Paris, Tel Aviv, other European cities, South America. So, I mean, over the next 12 months, we're going to see a big land grab. Obviously, we talked about capital. They have a ton of, these companies have lots of money to expand internationally. We're going to see that. And then another interesting trend to be on the watch for is actually, how do these scooters evolve in terms of hardware and form factor design? You know, like these scooters, again, are not made for fleet usage. They were consumer-based products at the beginning. And now you have a lot of companies who are investing in engineering and vehicle design who are looking at new use cases. How to, how can you, what kind of new features and you can add to these vehicles? That's going to be something to watch over the next 12, 18 months, is seeing all the different experiments with what a scooter can be. Can it have, you know, snow tires for the winter? Can it have heated handlebars? Will we see swappable batteries where you can actually just swap the battery, like a similar to like a mobile phone, change the battery on the spot, versus charging it all in one piece? So I'm really excited to see how scooter design will evolve, especially with so much money and capital being invested in R&D and research and design moving forward. So I think we're going to be in for a fun ride over the next 12, 18 months. And again, we'll see, you know, it's not going to be all butterflies and roses. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be regulation. There's going to be safety concerns. But, you know, part of any, you know, new mobility, that's just, you know, part of the game. And it's going to, yeah, I'm looking forward to being here next year talking about what happened in the last 12 months. So, yeah, I mean, we don't know. There might be a new form factor. Like, I didn't know scooters even existed 12 months ago. And look at where we are today. So.
Men det handler ikke kun om USA. De her scooters, de breder sig over hele verden. Der er allerede flere europæiske store byer, også Tel Aviv i Israel, der kan tilbyde en udlejningsservice på scooters. Spørgsmålet er, hvordan udvikler de her scooters sig? Kommer der nye features på dem? Får de vinterdæk? Får de varme i håndtagene? Får de batterier, som man kan tage af og lade op i sin lejlighed, som man ikke skal være afhængig af? En eller anden samler dem ind og lader dem op? Og hvad sker der egentlig med konflikter med myndigheder osv.? Jeg har forladt kødbyen og rummet med de mange løbehjul, fordi jeg har fundet manden, som man kan sige ejer løbehjulene. Han er svensker, han hedder Frederik Hjelm, og han sidder lige her, og så slår vi over i engelsk, fordi vi blev enige om, at det er nemmere end at tale skandinavisk. So, Frederik, could you tell me a little bit about yourself and about the company that you're the CEO of?
Yeah, with pleasure. So, my name is Frederik Hjelm, and I'm the CEO of Voi Technology. And we are the only European e-kick scooter sharing company so far that has launched. So we launched in Stockholm 10 days ago, and the response has been overwhelming so far in Stockholm. And shortly about me, so I have a background both as a serial entrepreneur, but also from the Swedish Armed Forces. I'm a language officer that worked in Russia for a few years as an interpreter, but after that I have been launching a few businesses in Stockholm.
So could you tell me how many scooters do you have on the street in Stockholm?
So currently we have a few hundred in Stockholm. For us it's very important to scale up and work in a sustainable way. We have seen bad examples from the West Coast in the US when companies with similar services just put out scooters as ammunition, just bomb the streets with scooters. And we do not want to do that. We want to work in a sustainable way with cities and scale up the amount of scooters according to demand. The response has been overwhelming. So the first 7 days since Voi launched, the first week, we had 5,000 rides and around 8,000 users signing up without any spend on marketing. So Voi has gone viral in Stockholm.
But why is that so? I mean, if you look at the cities in the United States, I mean, you know that they have a lot of traffic jams and so on. I mean, how does this compare to a city like Stockholm?
We have a lot of traffic jams in Stockholm as well and in other European cities. And for me, I mean, I founded Voi when I was running my previous company, Guestit, which is the biggest Airbnb management company in Sweden. In Denmark and Copenhagen, you have an equivalent called Key Butler. And I got the question every day, so how do I transport myself from point A to point B within Stockholm and within other Swedish cities where we have apartments and properties? So for me, that was kind of a realization. of a problem that I felt every day living in Stockholm, commuting from work to home, from school to home, that there aren't any really, really good solutions for that last mile transportation problem currently in Europe. I looked into alternatives all around the world, and I would say that some Asian countries are more progressive than what we have been in Europe lately. China, India, Bangladesh, some great examples of sharing services, both electric vehicles and also bike sharing. I didn't like those alternatives completely for the European market, but what I really, really liked and fell in love with was the scooter solution. At the same time, looking into the alternatives that were out there, I saw data showing that 87% of all personal trips in United Kingdom are shorter than 5 miles. I also got data from Uber and other ride-sharing companies showing that around 50-60% of all ride-sharing trips are shorter than 3 miles. So a lot of short car and taxi trips, which, if you think about it, doesn't make sense. Why should we transport people in like 3, 5, 10-ton metallic boxes when there are better solutions? So that's why I founded Voi. 52% of all our riders so far, they have used Voi minimum 2 times. We see that 10% in the first week after Voi launch used Voi more than 5 times. So it's to some extent addictive when people start using Voi. They put the app on their home screen, they go in several times a day to see, is there any Voi close by so I can replace this short car trip I planned or the short Uber or taxi trip, which is very, very fun, of course, and we hope that it will continue like that.
What about charging and the distribution of the scooters in Stockholm? I mean, in as I understand it, in the States, they don't really have charging stations. I mean, how do you solve this problem?
Yeah, so the scooters are free-floating. One of the problems I see and saw with the dock-based sharing solutions, maybe bikes, scooters or anything, is that when you come to the dock and the dock is full, either you wait for someone to take out the bike or you find another dock. The other problem with dock-based solutions is that you come to the dock, but you still have 500, 600, 800 meters to walk, which doesn't really solve the problem that you want to solve. So how we are solving it now is that we're building a community of, as we call them, hunters. And the Voi hunters, they go out and get, they find scooters that have a low battery level. And we also take in all scooters after 9 o'clock in the evening. So this is a community of gig workers, people, and we see that the majority of our gig workers, of our hunters, they are people that have difficulties getting normal jobs of different reasons. Perhaps they recently came to Sweden, perhaps they were burnt out or on their previous jobs and so on. So these people have difficulties getting jobs. And what has been very, very satisfying for me so far is I've been out hunting scooters with them some nights, and when you see these people for the first time in Sweden belonging to something, they feel that they make good, they feel that they belong to a group, they feel that they're working together both with the other gig workers or hunters, but also with us from Voi Technology. I mean, that makes me feel really good.
What is the price for renting a scooter in Stockholm?
So in Stockholm, it's 10 Swedish kronas to unlock the scooter, which is equivalent to 1 euro. And then it's 1 krona and 50 öre, which is equivalent to 15 cents in euros per minute. So an unlock fee and then per minute, which makes our average ride is 3.5 kilometers. And that costs around 25-30 kronas, cheaper than public transportation in Stockholm.
And some questions about the business. I mean, are you venture capital financed, or how are you financed?
Yeah, so we are venture capital financed by a Swedish VC fund called Vostok New Ventures.
And do you plan to launch in other cities?
We're a Nordic company. founded in Stockholm, but with people from other Nordic countries as well working with us. But of course, we don't have only Stockholm or only the Nordics as our target market. We have Europe to start with, but then globally. Yeah, we have Stockholm as our first city, but we're coming to other European markets very soon.
I'm just wondering whether this is a seasonal service in the Nordics. They are quite big in California, but the sun is shining all the time in California. In about 2 months, we will have snow and rain and really bad weather in the Nordic countries. So, what to expect in weather conditions like this?
The current scooters we have cannot operate in snow. That says itself. But we try to be very flexible, both when it comes to launching, operating, and also moving the scooters around.
So you will close down for the winter, or?
I mean, depending on the winter and depending on how operations go.
You have a couple of scooters here at the Tech Festival, but do you plan to launch in Copenhagen or in Denmark?
Yeah, I mean, Denmark, after Sweden, I would say that Denmark is my favorite country. So I would love to come to Denmark, and we would love to work with cities like Copenhagen, Odense, Aarhus, and other Danish cities. But we want to do it in a compliant way, of course. So we are having a dialogue now.
And who do you have a dialogue with?
With decision makers here in Denmark.
So what are the obstacles of launching a service like this?
Yeah, so we know in Denmark there are national laws and also there are municipal policies, and we of course want to follow these ones. And that's why we're having this dialogue now with Danish decision makers. If I could decide, I would come to Denmark tomorrow.
I denne uge har jeg også modtaget et podkort fra min kollega Anders Høgh Nissen, der laver podcasten Transformator hos mediehuset Ingeniøren. Lad os lige høre, hvad han har gang i denne her uge.
Hej Techtopia-lytter. I denne uges udgave af søsterpodcasten Transformator over fra mediehuset Ingeniøren, der skal vi tale om to hovedtemaer. Det ene er, hvordan landbruget skal takle udfordringerne med ekstremt vejr og udpint jord osv.
Og det er blandt andet sådan noget med at blande markerne lidt bedre måske, og bruge nogle flere data til at se på jordens tilstand og hvad man kan gøre. De har 7 rigtig gode bud på, hvad vi skal se på fremover.
Og så skal vi også tale om, hvordan et DTU-projekt måske kan være med til i fremtiden at dæmpe støjgener fra koncerter, for eksempel inde i Tivoli eller andre steder i byrummet. Og så skal vi selvfølgelig også uddele ugens priser, og jeg kan fortælle, at det i denne her uge kommer til at handle om 3D-print og NemID, og så siger jeg ikke mere om det. Jeg håber, vi høres ved over i Transformator.
Du har lyttet til Techtopia, som bor på techtopia.dk og udkommer hver mandag. Du kan møde næsten 1000 andre Techtopia-lyttere i vores gruppe Techtopia Backstage på Facebook. Du kan følge podcasten på Twitter på @techtopia.dk. Og du kan sende mig en e-mail på henrik@techtopia.dk. Må dine data være med dig på genhør. Techtopia. Techtopia er en podcast om mennesker og deres teknologi. Den er udgivet af Ingeniørforeningen IDA i samarbejde med mediehuset Ingeniøren, Automatikmessen Automatik, AM Hub og IDA Forsikring. Jeg hedder Henrik Føns, og det er mig, der bestemmer i Techtopia.
Techtopia. Future is going to be really exciting. Stay tuned. 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 Stay tuned.